I was born in Southern Ireland in Wexford town, and we came to London in 1952 when it wasn't particularly cool to be Irish. In fact, it was very, very difficult for new immigrants at the time. And I remember in Camden Town, I was able to read, and I asked Mum, why don't they like us? Because in so many news agents' windows, it said, sorry, no Irish, no coloured, no dogs. Mm-hmm. And if they thought they were being polite, they would say, no Irish, no people of colour, or no animals. And that was outlawed in 1961, fortunately. And we lived in Chalk Farm, and it wasn't a part of Chalk Farm where we lived. There were no Irish people, so we were a bit ostracised, and some of the children weren't supposed to play with me. Anyway, I went to primary school and did quite well, and I passed my 11 plus. And then I had a double whammy with the neighbours, because they thought, she's Irish and why should she go to a grammar school? We were all set to get married. I'd recovered, I was back at work, and this was moving on to 1966. And we'd set the wedding date. I was foolishly, set the date to coincide with World Cup. I'd forgot about the World Cup. But we were to get married on the following Saturday. And we had a house, and because in the police, especially in those days, they had a very generous rent allowance, and we had we're getting a house ready in Oakwood, which is a branch of Enfield, and in May of 1966, I was flat sharing with a school friend in Muswell Hill. And her name was Anne. I said, Anne, I just can't go through with it. I said, I'm going to pack a couple of cases. I said, I can't marry Michael. Just can't go through with it. And she said, oh, no. And she said, everybody, I believe, I've heard, my mother and my aunts and friends, they get cold feet just before they get married. They think, it's final commitment, and you're virtually giving yourself to another person, especially in way back in the 60s. But I knew there was something deeper than that. I just couldn't go away. I couldn't face him. I couldn't tell anybody. So what happened, a couple of weeks later, I did pack a couple of suitcases, and got a taxi from Muswell Hill down to Euston Station, and I didn't know where I was going, and I just looked up and I saw Blackpool. And she thought I was completely mad. And anyway, I ran away, and I felt quite a coward for running away. And I spent 2 months in Blackpool. I wrote him a letter, and I told him that I couldn't go through with it, and I left everybody in the lurch. My parents were less than pleased, because they'd arranged for people to come from near and far, and the venue was booked, and I was going to get married, and it was going to be a church wedding and all of this business, and I just couldn't face it, because I had feelings that I was gay, and I thought, well, I'm going to be living a lie, I'm not going to be happy, and I'm going to make him unhappy. And I thought it was the best thing I could do. But for many years I was loaded with guilt, until I told a couple of friends, and they said how brave I was to do that. Because my mother kept putting me down, saying I was just, I was such a cowardly thing to do. But since then, a lot of people said how brave it was, because going so far, they would have had to go through with it. I was looking for a way into the gateways. I'd heard about the gateways because I read an article in 1965 in the New Statesman. It was the MOG, it was either Diana Chapman or Esme Langley had given an interview to the Labour, it's still going to New Statesman, I think, and they'd given an interview, a lengthy double-page interview, to the MRG, and I didn't know a way in, and somebody in the office said that they'd heard of some place called the Gateways in Chelsea, but it was very, very difficult to get into, and they also said that you had to be sponsored or recommended, and MRG mentioned the Gateways too, and they sort of reinforced that it was very difficult to get in, and the membership was quite selective. You had to be seconded by somebody, and then that's right after that, Martin mentioned the subway just at the other side of, on the same sort of street. It was that was definitely in Carlisle Street, just off Water Street, and the downstairs part. And there were some people from the Gateways there, and he introduced me to an Irish girl by the name of Pat. And he said Mary would love to go down to the Gateways, and then I arranged to meet her I think it was Sunday evening, and she signed me in to the Gateways, and that was November 19, I always remember that because I felt as I was coming home. That was November 1966. Mm-hmm. The Welcome and the Gates, Gina and Smithy. Gina wasn't a very friendly person. She was used to sit at the end of the desk at the end of the flight of stairs. You went in through a gate off Bramerton Street, just around the corner from the King's Road, in through a gate. You rang the bell. Usually a very heavy butch character run up the stairs and let you in. And Gina was always perched on a stool. And even when I'd been a regular at the gates for many months, say hello to Gina and she'd look straight through you. She used to sit there with a cigarette holder. Not very welcoming, not at all. And Smithy, her partner, or the person who managed the bar side of things, was slightly more friendly. Smithy was an American, and apparently she'd come down to the gates and she decided she liked it. And she, when she left the... I think she was based at St. Ruislip. She was a sergeant in the American Air Force, I believe. And she liked England so much that she's actually stayed. And whether they were a relationship or not, nobody knows, but they were obviously very close. And neither of them were very, very welcoming. But it didn't matter because there was nowhere else to go.